Okay, this morning we're looking again in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Over the summer we're going through, I think it's probably fair to say, that the greatest sermon ever preached, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, when you do read them and think about them and think that if we really did apply these words to our lives, if we really followed and took to heart Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, how different our society would be, how different our lives would be. Jesus' words are radical and transformative and profound and yet in a way simple as well. But let's look in Matthew chapter 6. Last week we were thinking about prayer, where Jesus told us how to pray. We're picking up in verse 16, where he goes on and he talks about fasting, and then he talks about treasure. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, this is God's word. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Father, we do pray for your help over these next few moments as we think and ponder over what it is you're saying to us in your word. We thank you for these words. We thank you for that they are true. We thank you that they change our lives. And we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to understand them, to see them, to apply them to our hearts, to apply them to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a lady about to get onto a lifeboat on the Titanic. There's countless stories like these about the Titanic. How many of them are true? No idea. No idea if this one's true or not, but it's a good story anyway. There's a lady, she's on a lifeboat, about to get off the Titanic, and she remembers all of a sudden all the valuables, all the things she has in her room. And she's one of these probably very wealthy people, paid a great deal to be on the Titanic and brought all her valuables and treasures with her to show them off to all the other wealthy and lovely people on the Titanic. And she says, can I go back to my room? And she's told she's got three mats. So she runs, gets back to her room, and on the way she starts to see the water coming in and starts to see the horror on other people's faces, and she realises what a predicament she's in. And she returns back to the lifeboat, not with all her treasures, not with her possessions. She returns back with a box of oranges, because she realises in the coming moments, coming hours, those oranges will be far more precious than all her treasures, all her jewellery and everything else put together. In that moment of crisis, she had a moment of clarity. And she saw what really all her possessions were worth. And she saw those oranges, what they were worth in comparison. And Jesus, in these words, he gives us a moment like that. He wants to give us a moment like that. He wants to give us a moment of clarity to see really what our possessions, the things that we treasure, things that we own, things that we love, wants us to see, have a moment of clarity, to see really what they are worth. And he wants us to see a treasure that's even greater than oranges on a lifeboat on the Titanic. But he wants us to really see clarity about our perspective on this life. And he wants us to give us that awakening. Of course, he doesn't want us to have to go through a near-death experience this morning. But his words, if we think about them and apply them to our lives, will give us that clarity. And interesting, so if you passages that we've read, and sort of if you break it up into sections, and in the Sermon on the Mount it flows with real clarity to Jesus' logic in what he says, okay? So, verse 16, he's spoken about prayer, and then he speaks about fasting, which kind of links prayer and our treasures, what we value together, and we'll see that in a while. And then he speaks about treasure, what is it we treasure the most. And then there's just two verses, which we'll think about later as well, about the eye. And it seems very confusing the first time we read it, and doesn't seem to fit in at all the rest of the theme. And then he concludes with a very direct summary and really hits us between the eyes with it at the end. So I want to start with the treasure and then go back to fasting the eye and then finish with the summary. Jesus says, "Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal." Jesus is saying, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. Jesus is telling us that we can't separate our heart from the things that we love. The things that we love and our heart are connected. What we love will change how we live. You could boil it down to Jesus saying, you are what you love. You are what you love. Is there a TV program? You are what you eat. Or is that just a saying? You are what you eat. You know, what you eat changes how you look, and then will change how you live, will in some way define you. Well, even more important than that, what we love defines who we are. What we love changes us. And Jesus is saying, do not set your heart on treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy. Don't set your ultimate love on things which ultimately will fade away, will pass away. Six Flags Park was a big amusement park in New Orleans. Apparently it was even better than Barry's, if you can believe that. But it was big. Somewhere probably between Barry's and Disneyland. Hopefully more towards Disneyland than Barry's. But it was this great amusement park. Kids, families, great day out. All these great amazing amusements and rides and everything. And then Hurricane Katrina came along. And today, this is what, if you can see that, Six Flags Park looks like. Yeah, that's the merry-go-round or whatever. And the Ferris wheel. Apparently this is quite a big industry now. People taking photographs of abandoned places. So people break into abandoned ships or abandoned hospitals or abandoned amusement parks and take photographs. And there is something strange about it. You're seeing something that was once so shiny, I'm sure, and exciting and new and fun. People were desperate to go there, wanted to go, spend loads of money to get into that place. And now it's left for mice and rats and rust. And it's decaying into destruction. And Jesus is saying, don't set your heart on things that at one time appear nice and shiny and fascinating and lovely, but ultimately everything in this world will one day be like that. Will rust, decay, and be destroyed. If our ultimate love, what we love the most, is just things on this earth, it's a bad investment. It's a bad investment to devote your affections, your love, to just this earth, the treasures of this earth. I love a good Star Wars illustration. I don't use too many of them, so you'll forgive me for this one. But George Lucas, the director of Star Wars, whenever he was kind of negotiating his salary with the studio, Fox, he agreed to a $20,000 pay cut. So he agreed to take $20,000 less if they would give him the rights for the merchandise. And I'm sure the studio thought, great, we're saving $20,000, amazing, huge saving, and we'll give him the rights to the merchandise, because back then, who makes money off merchandise from movies? That's nothing. Great saving. George Lucas made $3 billion off merchandise from Star Wars. So the studio thought, £20,000, great saving, let's save there. And actually, down the line, for 40 years later, what a terrible investment that was from Fox. Interesting, actually, Alec Guinness, who was in the original Star Wars, absolutely hated Star Wars, hated being in it, hated the fans, hated everything about it. But he had a similar deal, and he made more money out of Star Wars than the rest of his career combined, because he invested wisely. But Jesus is saying, don't invest our lives in something that ultimately is going to be destroyed. He says, invest your life, invest your heart in treasure that cannot be destroyed. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Because Jesus knows that we are motivated, ultimately, by our hearts. We like to think that we are very rational people and we operate and think out of our minds, don't we? We think about something and then we act on it. But the Bible and Jesus is clear that actually this week we're making a control panel for our set on the Holiday Bible Club for our spaceship. The control panel is the bit that decides where the spaceship goes and navigates us. The Bible says, tells us that the control panel of the human is not up here in our heads. The control panel of the human is in here, in our hearts. Where your heart is, will determine how you live. That's why Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He will direct your paths. If our hearts are set on him, trusting on him, our paths will follow. Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and strength. Where our hearts are placed, that will determine the rest of our lives. Where you set your heart, the rest of you will follow. You can be incredibly smart and know all the facts and still be incredibly stupid. There was a guy, Jonah Lehrer, I think his name was. He was a neuroscientist who wrote lots of books about science and human behaviour. He's seen as this very clever, up-and-coming thinker. And it turned out in lots of his books he had plagiarised himself all over the place. So he's writing a new book. He just went back to his old work, copied and pasted into his new book, and thought nobody would notice. And it also turned out that he wrote a book about Bob Dylan, and it turned out that he had made up loads of quotes from Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan never said any of it. He just made it up and just stuck it in the book and thought nobody would notice. Incredibly clever, probably smarter than most people in this room, and yet incredibly stupid. Made incredibly stupid choices. I think at times in our Christian life, we think if we're growing cold, or we want to grow in our Christian life, we think what we need to do is we just need more information. I just need to know more stuff, and that will make me a better Christian. And Jesus is saying, actually, the control panel of your Christian life is not just your brain. It's not knowing more facts about God. The control panel, the fuel for your Christian life is, where is your love? Do you love your salary more than Jesus? Do you love your car more than Christ? Do you love your house? Is it the things that before you on this earth, if they are before Jesus in your heart, then they're always going to be before him in your life, in your actions, and how you live your life. We follow what we love, and we become like what we love. If your greatest love in this life is money, then you will become greedy, and you will become ruthless, and you'll do whatever it takes to get money. If your greatest love in this life is beauty, you live to look good, you will become vain and you'll become vacuous and empty and shallow. You become like what you love, what you set your heart on, your life will follow. Jesus is saying, don't set your heart on things that ultimately fade away. Set your heart on something greater, a greater cause, an eternal cause, a greater treasure. And what is the treasure Jesus is talking about? Well, it is his kingdom and all the benefits of his kingdom, but ultimately the treasure is Christ himself. We set our hearts on him because he is not going anywhere. The iPhone, what are we on now, the iPhone 39 or whatever it is? Next year there'll be another one, and the next year there'll be another one. You can set your heart on getting the latest iPhone. In a year's time, it will be out of date. Same with cars, fashion, money, salary, all those things. Only Christ never goes, well, he might go out of fashion in the culture, but he's always relevant. He's always faithful. He is here today, tomorrow. He is here forever. So don't set your heart on things of this, or set your heart on treasure that will not go anywhere. But then how do we do that? Because the things of this earth we know our hearts attach onto them. Don't they grab on things? We just love things that we shouldn't love. So if we're in that place, we're saying, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I do. I find myself loving money. I find myself loving sport. I find myself loving popularity. I find myself loving all these other things more than Jesus. And I don't want to do that, but I do. How do we fix that? Well, I think in the passage before and after, Jesus gives us some ideas. Yeah, how can we change what we love? Jesus says, stop. Stop. Look in verse 16. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. One of the ways we can detach our hearts from the wrong kinds of treasure is to stop, to take a break from those wrong types of treasure. And notice, just like he did when he was talking about prayer, Jesus isn't actually commanding. These aren't commands to fast. Jesus is actually assuming that his followers do fast. He doesn't say fast. He says, when you fast. So he assumes that his followers will be fasting. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. He's saying, don't fast. Don't put your fasting on Instagram. Don't, before you begin fasting, put up a selfie with a nice filter and say, I'm about to embark on a fast, just so other people can see it and give you little hearts and likes. Actually, fasting is the antithesis of Instagram. It's not about food. Instagram is pretty much predominantly about food. And Instagram is about getting people to like you. Jesus is saying, don't do it for the approval. Don't do it for the show. Do it because what is the purpose of fasting? There's all sorts of reasons people fast in the Bible. Times of mourning, times of temptation, times of making decisions. But I think ultimately the reason for fasting, it is showing our reminding our bodies and reminding ourselves that there is something more important in this life than even the most fundamental thing like food. That our relationship with God, that Christ is more valuable, more precious to us than even food itself. It is a clear being, setting aside, having a moment of clarity, having a moment of single-mindedness to our relationship with Christ. It reminds us of our total dependence on Him. I'm going to be honest, fasting is not a practice that I engage in regularly, and this has been a challenge to think about that. And of course, we can fast from food, but I think it's not limited to food. So whatever that treasure is, if you were thinking of something, what's the thing that your heart latches onto that you love and you know you shouldn't love? Well, maybe that's the thing that you need to fast from. Maybe it is social media. Maybe it's going on a social media fast. Maybe it is food. Maybe it is money. Maybe not spending money for a time. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's the internet, your phone, whatever it is. Fasting is a way of reminding yourself, reminding your heart, reminding your body who is boss. It's showing you that actually Jesus is Lord. Your money isn't Lord. Reminding your wallet who's in charge. Reminding your social media account who's in charge. It's not in control of you. But actually Christ is our Lord. That's one way to detach our hearts. We can fast. And Jesus is saying, don't do it for public show. I don't think that means don't tell anyone. I think it would be okay to tell someone. And it would be interesting to encourage each other. If you're thinking about that and going to do it, why not share it with someone else? And not in a big public fashion, not for attention or approval, but to encourage, if we can encourage each other, even challenge each other. Or is this something that we are doing? And then, so one way of detaching hearts is to fast. Another one is to change what you look at. This is where we come to verse 22 and 23. So Jesus talks about fasting, which is a way of showing what our treasure is. And he talks about treasure in verse 19 to 21. And then verse 22, he starts talking about the eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. I remember the first time I read this, I thought, how does this fit with the theme? What's the logic? He's talking about treasure, what we value the most. And then he goes back to that in verse 24, talks about your master. You cannot serve both God and money. So see how that all fits together. But then there's these almost seemingly random verses about the eye, what you look at, and your eye and light and darkness in your body. What is Jesus saying? How do they connect? They do seem odd and out of place. But I think what Jesus is saying is what we look at, what we allow into our eyes, into our minds, will then will go into our heart and determine the rest of us. Jesus knows that our treasures are the things that we look at the most. Our treasures are the things that we think about, daydream about. I mean, why do, I didn't write this figure down, but 95% sure it was $790 billion. That's how much people spend in advertising per year in the world. $790 billion. I'm sure that's bigger than most countries' GDP, if that's the right word. Annual spending, $790 billion. And why? Why do people have so much money in advertising? Why do they want us to look at their product? Because they know if we look at it, then there's a good chance that we'll want it. And if we look at it, the more we look at something, the more we'll want it, and the more chances that actually we will buy it. What we look at affects how we, what we treasure, what we prize. That's why Apple pays so much money for these cool ads, putting an iPhone in front of you, even though it's no different from the iPhone that's gone before. But because we see it and it looks shiny and sleek and cool, and that cool person's using it, well, then we want it as well. What we look at, what we spend time pondering, looking at, thinking about, changes how we live. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, if what we are looking at, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, if the things that we look at aren't things that aren't the treasure of heaven, but we're constantly only ever looking and thinking about the treasure on earth, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What are we putting in? Jesus is referring to that computer jargon 2,000 years before computers. So is it garbage in, garbage out? If you put garbage into a computer, if you put the wrong data into a computer, then you'll get wrong data out. And Jesus is saying human beings, we're the same. If we only ever put rubbish in, then how do we expect our hearts to be shaped? How do we expect our hearts to be formed? What do we expect our lives to look like if all we ever think and reflect and look at is rubbish, unhelpful stuff? What do we spend our times looking at? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We speak from our heart. What are we putting into our heart? What we put in will affect what comes out. So we need to think about our daily habits, our routines. Jesus saying your daily habit of what you look at and think about will shape your heart. So we need to think, well, how do our daily habits, how do our daily routines, how are they shaping how I live? The things I continually look at, think about, dwell upon, what way is it changing me? And maybe it's not just getting rid of the bad stuff, not looking at bad stuff as part of it, but what are the good things? What are the good treasures that we're thinking about pondering in our daily routine? How are we day by day shaping our own hearts, our own lives? What are we looking at? Change what you look at will change your heart. And then finally, verse 24, Jesus sums it all up, and he lays it on the line, straight down the middle. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You just can't serve God and money. You can't love money and all that it brings and also love God. Those aren't my words, those are Jesus' words. You can't set your life on money and all that brings, comfort, success, popularity, whatever. You can't set your heart on that and at the same time love Jesus. So Jesus is asking us, which one are we serving? Will we serve the one who never stops? Money is a master that never stops. Will drive you until the end of your days. It will never satisfy you. You will never have enough. It will never give you a true reward. And you obviously, we know you can't take it with you when you go. Or will we serve our master Jesus, who loves us, who says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, who we can rest in, that we don't have to strive and earn the love of Jesus. That we have to strive and earn money and success and whatever else. But today, this morning, Jesus offers you unmerited, free love and grace and acceptance. We can fight to look and be the best and have what the best. You can have the best in Christ right now if we just rest and trust in him. He is our greatest treasure. And money and the treasures of this earth will always demand that you sacrifice for it. You have to work and earn it, and you will never have enough. Our Master Christ laid his life down for us. He sacrificed himself. He is the only treasure that sacrificed himself for us. Through his grace and love, we have peace and rest. And we can take him with us when we go. He takes us to himself. He is the greatest treasure of eternity, of peace now and peace forever. That lady on the sinking Titanic had to choose in that moment. And, you know, a great moment of clarity like that might help us. But actually, when we think about it, we think about our lives are exactly the same. She was brought into that moment, came to term to the briefness of life and what's important. Actually, every day we are dying. Every day. Every day we come one step closer to the end of our lives. Every day we are choosing what do we treasure more. Every day we're going back to that room and picking what it is that we want. Are we going to pick the things that rust, decay, die and end and are no more? Or are we going to treasure the only thing that lasts forever? Are we going to treasure Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the good gifts of this world that you give to us. Thank you for how you have blessed us in this part of the world. We have so much, and we thank you for those things. And help us to enjoy them as gifts, but not to mistake them for the gift giver. We thank you for creation, but we pray that we would love and worship the Creator more. Lord, help us to reflect on your word. We thank you for how radical and how true and deep and profound and challenging your word is. We pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to be changed and to be made more like Jesus. In his name, amen.